Oh, missed that one last week, huh? Oh, that's all about lying. Good morning, amazing church family. Look, thanks for coming together to worship Jesus together. I am so glad to be here. You guys, you are my heart's joy. When I think of you, my heart explodes, and every time I get to be with you on Sunday, my life is better off. So thanks for being here. Together, let's proclaim our church's purpose by talking about our church mission statement. Okay, ready here? What do? We love God, and we love others. And what do we say? I love God, and I love you. Got a public service announcement before I jump into this sermon today. I told you a couple of weeks ago that Pastor Jason had graduated seminary, and that was like such a powerful thing, and we're so excited for him. But because of that, his family is now going to be looking for a full-time ministry position, and our church is a part-time children's pastor position. And so if you would join us in praying for him as they're sort of searching for a place to go, if you have any leads about, like, you know, because everybody has connections with everyone else. If you hear of anything, he's looking for associate pastor work or small groups pastor, youth or college pastor, something like Christian education. That's where his gifts lie in, like, connecting to people and that sort of stuff. And so if you could pray for him, but also be looking on behalf of them. And if you hear anything, just let him know. This means, though, that our church is then going to be looking for a part-time children's pastor. And so if you hear of anyone who's, like, amazing and would love to be a part-time children's pastor, then let me know. Or if God has been moving you, in the last several weeks we've talked about a volunteer shepherding pastor, or maybe God is calling you into that ministry. If that is your movement today, then you can also see me as well. So putting that out there for all of you who are like, God's been saying, maybe, and you're like, no, there's no opportunity. There's an opportunity? Yeah, so perhaps God is moving you, and if so, I'd love for you to respond to his call and follow his passion for your life. And so there it is. So if you guys can be praying for us and praying for Pastor Jason and his family and loving them as they're preparing to try to find full-time. And this is really a good thing. It's not, we're not dissatisfied. He doesn't dislike us. There's no sort of animosity or negativity. We believe that God has called him into full-time ministry to exponentially increase the gospel going out. And so this is an exciting time for them, not sort of a tragic time. So really exciting to have that. Okay, so now back to our sermon time. So today we're going to see a progression that started last week when we were talking about God is light. The next phase after God is light is then God says, I'm going to bring that light to you. I'm going to reveal that light to humankind. And then that light, as he reveals it to us, it then becomes available for us to grab onto. And not only grab onto, the Bible says that we can actually become children of light. And so that's our progression that we're going to see this morning. Light is going to be revealed to us. Then light is received by us. And then that light transforms us. And so that's going to be our three movements today. Light revealed, light received, and then light transforms. Before I gave my life to Jesus, like, I'd been to church a bunch. My family they actually started out as Catholics, then they became Mormons, and then by the time I was five, so it went Catholic, Mormon, I'm 5 years old now, and then we're Christian again. Like, so my parents were, like, dabbling in all of it, right? And so I'd been to church a bunch when I was a kid. Now, some tragedy happened. My parents got divorced, and so we kind of stopped going to church. But I still went once in a while. You know, every few months we'd go have a little bit of guilt inside, and we'd go to church. And so I always sort of understood who God was, and I always believed in God, and I always thought that God was perfect and light and holy and all these kind of stuff. And that was pretty clear to me. And what else was really clear was that God was really good, and God was really holy, and God was really right, but I was not. It was crystal clear to me, even as a young person, that I was not anywhere near what God is, like in terms of good and light and that sort of stuff. I knew that I didn't have that. In fact, I was dark inside. Now, I looked probably like a normal kid on the outside, but in the inside, I knew that there was darkness in me, and I wouldn't even tell it to anyone, but I knew that it was inside there. There's a phrase that says, every person has a God-sized hole that only he can fill. And I think that's true for many people, but that isn't how it ever felt to me. I didn't ever feel like I had a hole that needed to fill. What I felt was that I was dark and he was light and he wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. That was my experience. I never felt like lonely or like I didn't believe in God or like I had to have this piece of God in my life. But I did feel like I knew that there was a God out there, but I knew that he wouldn't want me. I knew that I was too messed up inside. There were too many things that had gone on inside of me, too many places that I had been, even as a young person, that God wouldn't have anything to do with me. That's what I thought. Internal darkness is a reality. It's a reality for everyone before they come to Christ in one way or another. It remains in a person until God's light is revealed to them. Paul makes this really clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says this, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." So the, "I've seen a light," you know, that's sort of a popular idiom, but it's an actual true reality for Christians. They saw the light and it changed them. In a similar way that God acted in creation, that out of the darkness he brought light, he does the same things in the heart of a believer. He brings every willing heart out of darkness. The light in believers, it corresponds to the reality that they've seen in the face of Christ. Or another way to say this is that God has revealed his grace that Christ offers to each person. Now this grace was experienced by Paul on the road of Damascus. Paul's the writer of 2 Corinthians. And Paul, who is literally persecuting Christians, he's hell-bent on destroying the church. He's killing and imprisoning Christians. He's walking and living in the dark. Now, he thought he was in the light. He thought he was doing good things. He was religious. But he was actually in the darkness. And God literally blinded him with a bright light to get his attention. Now, Dr. Luke quotes Paul as he's giving his testimony to a guy named King Agrippa, and this is recorded in Acts. Here's what Paul says about his interaction with the God of light. He says, "On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and the commission of the chief priest." He was going as a Jewish Pharisee at the time. "About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven. It was brighter than the sun. It was blazing around me and my companions. And we all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up, stand on your feet, and I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you've seen and what you will see of me. I'll rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" So God slammed into Paul, literally with light, but also spiritually. Like the light was so bright, he actually fell off his, God knocked him off his ass, we sort of say, but you can't say ass nowadays. So God knocked him off his donkey. There was a bright light. And then it wasn't just a physical light that knocked him on his butt. There was a spiritual light that really kicked his butt. You know what I'm saying? Like where he was like, oh, he met the risen Jesus in this place of light. And God revealed himself and the grace that's available through Jesus to him. And so the darkness was revealed in him. And then the remedy to that was the light. Now, you and I, we may not have as dramatic of a light experience as the Apostle Paul. But the reality is the same. Like some people have like a singular dramatic experience where they come and they meet Jesus and it's like, oh, it's Jesus in this moment, and others not so much. Like mine was pretty clear. I was learning about God, and I've shared my testimony a bunch, and so I'm not going to say it all. But there was that moment where these shoes came into my life and they kicked my butt, and it was God's light for me, and it was this moment, and at that moment everything changed for me, and it was like really that the darkness that I had always held was exposed to the light, and that light came to me for the first time where I could receive it. And I could realize that I didn't have to stay in darkness. And so that was a really clear, singular moment for me. But Pastor Jason was sharing just last week at the Welcome Here lunch that he was sharing about his testimony. He said, well, I grew up in a Christian home, and so I was always surrounded by the light, and I actually always believed in the light, and I can't even remember a time where I wasn't walking in the light. So his conversion wasn't a single moment, but it was over his lifetime. Like God had just been walking with him the entire time. Either way, dramatically showing up at one point or being around for your whole life, there's a miracle of God's light involved in every single person who comes to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Without God shining his light into our hearts in some way, there would never be anyone who turns to God. we'd be stuck in darkness permanently. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one, nobody who seeks after God on your own. It is only because his light comes and is revealed to us that we can then possibly turn our hearts to him. There's a necessary, miraculous work of the Holy Spirit that takes place to reveal light to each person. You say, well, when would that happen? Well, if it's never happened to you, that's this morning. He's revealing his light to you right now. Speaking of God, David writes this about God. He says in Psalm 36, he said, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light." God brings his light to us so that we can respond. Without God first bringing and first doing the work, we can't respond. Now, there's a theological debate at this point where some people believe that the Holy Spirit opens all people's eyes so that they can receive the light when it's revealed to them. And there's another group of people who believe that the Holy Spirit opens everyone's eyes who will believe in him, and that's who receive the Holy Spirit. And so there's this like sort of nuanced debate within Christianity of who gets sort of their eyes open to receive the light enough. But either way, whichever camp that you're in, it doesn't much matter because God's light arriving in the heart of the believer is a necessary first step. We cannot respond in either, whichever camp you find in theologically. You cannot turn to God unless God first turns to you. We respond to the knowledge of God's glory displayed in Christ. That's what that 2 Corinthians passage said. So we respond when Jesus shows up to us. And so whether that's, you know, depending on how Calvinistic you are, one way or the other. But both camps believe that God has to do work and that we have the opportunity to respond. Satan's work of blinding is great, but God's work of bringing light is greater. Yeah. The God who created the light in the physical world can fill your heart in the spiritual world, even if you're blinded by the God of this age. When we realize this and we turn to God, then we can receive the light. So first he has to bring the light to us, and then we've got to receive that light, and we can make this, once we receive that light, we can make the same confession that David makes in Psalm 27. This is the light received. Here's what David said. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold, the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Here it becomes really personal. The first week, last week, we were talking about God as light. That's outside of you. God just exists as light. It is part of his character. It is who he is. And then God's light shines on me. That's from the outside in toward me. But now we're talking about that light shining in me so that it becomes my light, that it's inside of me, so that I can now make this confession that God is my light and God is my salvation. And so it goes from out God and sort of revealed to us, and then it's received by us and then owned into our soul. At this point, when we can say, "God, I'm receiving your light and I'm going to bring it into me," that's when God says you actually become a child of light. Here's how Jesus says it, recorded by the Apostle John. "Then Jesus told them, 'You're going to have the light,'" himself, "'just a little while longer. Walk in it while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark doesn't know where they're going. Believe the light while you have the light, so you may become children of light.'" When he finished speaking, Jesus left and he hid himself from them. So peace and internal congruity only happens when we are in the light. Every human being was created in the image of God. So darkness inside us, that is not the intended creation. Darkness came as a result of the fall, of men choosing sin. That isn't how you were created to be. So coming into the light will actually realign you to the way that you were supposed to be living this whole time. Coming into the light, that's why when you come to light, like when you're in the darkness, even when you're not Christian, every time I would sin and do stuff, I knew it was bad. There was never a time where I was doing bad things that I was like, "Yeah, this is really good. This is the right thing. If there's a God out there, he's totally proud of the way I'm acting." There was never a time where I thought that. When I hurt people's feelings, when I made people cry, when I did things I knew I shouldn't be, how did I know I shouldn't be doing? Because we're creating God's image, and there's a moral compass in us that says, "Go that way." And we're like, "No, I'm sinning. I'm going this way. I'm staying in the dark." And so So when you come into the light, all of a sudden things start to match up. And that's why there's only peace in the light. That's why if outside of Jesus, you will never experience peace. You will never experience like a calmness in your soul. There will always be incongruity in your soul because you're not living the way that God intended you to live, the way you were created in your soul to be, walking in the light. You were never created to be in the darkness. That's a result of a fall, of a sin, of a brokenness. It's not the result of a properly created person. And so when we come into the light, all of a sudden, God says you can be a child of light. This is where you belong. This is the only place to experience peace. It's the only place where we can actually feel like now we're acting how we were created to act. When we're in sync with this internal created space. When we're actually living as children of the light. And in this place and space, that's where God starts to transform us. So he reveals his light to us. And you go, oh man, that's like good. I know I got dark. I see that light. He reveals it to us. And then I say, I really need that. And then I'll receive that into me. And then he becomes my Lord and my Savior, and I become a child of light. And from this position, God starts to transform us. Psalm 18 says, you, Lord, you keep my light burning. My God, he turns my darkness into light. God helps to sanctify us. Sanctify means the process in which you're made holy. When we receive his light, God begins that process of he turns our darkness into light. His light changes us. This is a confession of everyone who has come to Christ. When they genuinely come to Christ, they say, God started to change me inside. And he changes all of us when we enter into his light. When I became a Christian, I sat on my bed one evening, knelt down by my bed. A friend of mine had given me shoes, and the shoes made me come to Christ. And that's when light came into my life, and I was absolutely freed from darkness in a moment. Some of the dark sins, I quit that instant. I quit drinking and smoking that moment. I quit pornography that moment, but it was different because it was like magazines. There was no internet back then, so it was like just throw your magazines away, and then that was it. You know, there wasn't like any phone temptation because there was no cell phones at the time. I quit that in that moment. Threw all those away that night. Guilt and shame fled away. I no longer felt like I was dark and unlovable. But some things took a lot longer. Some things went away really quick. Some of the darkness that I had, that was like, boom, right away, that moment. But something like my anger that I held, oh, man, that anger was 10, 12, 14, 18, like 15 years later. That it took for God's light to finally not penetrate that, but for me to open up that part of my life. It's never God's fault. It's always me, right? Bringing the dark in. Even after I'm a Christian, my old self is dead, but the old self like, hey, I want to come back in. You do? Yeah. Okay. Like, oh, that's your bad. God's light is there. Like, that's your bad to invite the dark guy back in, right? Invite the darkness back into your life or go back to some of those sins that you used to do. It's not God's bad. But so sometimes the transformation of us is instant, and sometimes it's years and years and years of this sanctification process. And ultimately the Bible says you won't be perfect until you arrive in heaven, so until you die. But you can get closer and closer. I mean, I was like this, and then I'm like this, and this, and this, and the longer I live, I'm closer and closer to being right with God. And that's a wonderful place to be. I'm closer and closer to living in the way that he intended me to live. I'm closer and closer to being a child of light and not letting that darkness come back. I'm better and better at it the longer that I've followed Jesus. Sanctification is a process, and it's done by God. But he asks you and I to participate. He doesn't drag you along into the process of holiness. He will turn your darkness into light if you're willing to choose him and live for him. And we join God by choosing the light. Here's how Paul says it in Ephesians. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Get this part right there. Live as children of light. So you were once darkness, so here's your participation part, right? God says, I'm going to change your darkness, but only if you're willing to live as a child of the light. If you're still wanting to live in darkness, God says, I'm not going to force you to do anything. I'll sanctify you if you're willing to come into this place. But if you want to stay over here, he said, there's no light over there in that darkness. I'm not hanging out over there. I'm over here. So you've got to choose to live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, truth. And you've got to find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of the darkness, but rather expose them. So the behavior of a Christian should correspond to their position. If you're a child of light, then you're going to act accordingly. Now, behavior does not cause you to be in the light. Rather, behavior is a reflection of the light that is in you. So I don't do good to become light. I become light, and because of that, God's light in me is then mirrored or refracted out into my behavior and into my actions and into my interactions with other people. Paul then gives an example of what that would look like. So when you have the light, what does that look like? What is the thing that manifests from that? What's the result or what's the reflection of that? And he said it's all goodness, righteousness, and truth. He said there's a starter for you, you know, an aversion to darkness, he says. A desire to learn about God and his light so that you can find out what pleases God and not live a life that just pleases you. So he lists three things to begin with. He says, work on these. You want to live in light? Work on goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness is good, not evil. Like selfless is good. Love is good. Kindness is good. Smiles and prayers are good. And this one's pretty easy. You just don't do evil, and then you're doing the goodness. Righteousness is choosing God's choices. Doing what's right, not what's wrong in the eyes of God. Righteous, not leftist, right? Sometimes you're not sure what to do. Sometimes you're like, well, what's the right thing in this situation? What would God want in this situation? Well, luckily for you, God has given you a handy guide. It's called the Bible, where he gives the answer to every necessary question. Not to every question, but to every necessary question in your life about what you should do in terms of righteous. It's included in that handy guidebook called the Bible. And now there's a Bible app, so you can look on that. You don't even have to carry a paper Bible around. And truth. Rejecting the enemy's lies. Let me offer you a sample of what the enemy says. Here's a sample of what the enemy says to you, and these are all lies. The enemy will tell you that you are not good enough to be loved by God. That's a lie. The enemy will say that you have made too many mistakes, that you are unredeemable, that even because you tried four or five times to make that confession, you're never going to get out of it. So you're not good enough. God's rejecting you. That's a lie. That you have too many bad things in your life, in your past, in your history. If anyone at this church knew about them, they would reject you and God would reject you. That's a lie. Maybe the enemy tells you you're worthless. That's a lie. There's no hope in life. Just quit. Let's give up. It's not worth fighting for. That's a lie. That you are unlovable and that you are unloved. Another lie. That you are a failure as a parent. That's a lie. That you're a failure as a friend, and you'll never amount to be a good friend. That you're not good enough because your grades are poor. That there's no hope for your marriage. Because, you know, real Christians never fight in marriage. So we all know that's a lie, right? Like, that one's like a super clear lie that no one even buys. You're like, yeah, that's probably not true. All those things are lies. The truth is that God's light gives life to everyone. That God loves you no matter where you are and no matter what you've done. And there is no darkness that can overcome light. It is impossible. We looked at that last week. Darkness can never triumph over light. And so the lies that you're too dark or too bad or you can't change or you're never going to get better, you're always going to stay stuck and you're going to be depressed and why don't you just quit? All those lies. That isn't what God is saying. He says, hold on to goodness and righteousness and truth. And the truth is, I love you, and I'm with you, and I will walk with you. And you are always redeemable and lovable. The light is always available, no matter what you've done previously. No matter what happened this morning, anyone got a fight on the way to church? Oh, those are the worst, right? Or like, I won't say who, but maybe one of our, we had a pastor's retreat this weekend, and maybe one of them had a fight with their wife before they went to the pastor's retreat. So holy, you know, like, man. But the light is available. Paul encourages believers to have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. And he says to rather expose them, call them out. So you're a sinner. You're messed up. Like, no, that's not what he means. So look carefully what it means to expose them. He says to expose them, but to expose them to whom? Look back carefully. For you once were darkness, but now you're, no, I'm live as a child of the light, expose the deeds of darkness to myself. Oh, that's what it's saying. The exposing of the deeds of darkness is to ourselves for the purpose of educating ourselves enough to avoid the things of darkness. Expose the darkness within you that keeps you from the light. This is not a verse saying that you should condemn other people. Expose this guy's darkness, expose this girl's darkness. That's not what it's saying. It says expose the darkness within you so that God's light can come and illuminate that part. See, God will never take away darkness that you're unwilling to open the door to. So if you're going to say, like, I'm going to hold this door, now you can have all this other stuff, and then God brings his light there, but I'm going to hold this piece, I'm going to shut this door, you're not allowed into this closet or into this room, God. This one I'm holding for me. These are my secret sins I'm going to hold on to. This is my addiction to X, Y, or Z, whatever your addiction is. I'm going to hold on to this one. I'm going to keep this block. And God's never, light isn't going to go in there. God doesn't violate people. If you want to keep that darkness, then you're going to keep that darkness, and he's not going to force you to open it, but it will never go away unless you open it up, unless you expose that and say, God, I'm fully exposed before you. I have these things I can't control. And when you expose them to God, then the light can come in. And until you do, it won't and it can't, because God's not going to violate you. So when you feel far from God, the first question I always ask is, what sin did you do? Like, what are your sin areas if you feel from God? Since light doesn't have fellowship with dark, that's the first question to always ask yourself. If I feel far from God, I look for the area of darkness that's pushing him away. And I confess that, and I change that, and I turn my heart to him. This is why it's so often people feel closest to God when they're at a retreat, or when they like turn off their phone and they say, God, I'm going to give you the next like a half a day sort of just with you and me, God, and I'm going to journal, I'm going to read my Bible, because they're exposing themselves to the light. You're at a retreat, you went to like two different messages in the day, and you worshiped three different times, and they prayed at breakfast, and then they prayed at lunch, and they prayed at dinner again, and then someone asked you to journal about your relationship with God. That's all exposing stuff to the darkness, right? That's why you feel near to God, and then they're worshiping, and you're worshiping, you're like, yeah, I'm near to God, and then you go home, and then you go back to all your same stuff. It's not that God left, you just brought your darkness back. You're like, you know, you kicked out that dark guy, he ran around the back, and then he was waiting for you when you got home, and then you opened the rear door, and he got right back in. So you opened it up. You know, you spend a day at a retreat, you're at the beach, you have your Bible open, you have your guitar, like even if you can't play, like I have my guitar sometimes, I play it, I can't play at all, 100%. Don't even think like, oh, everyone can. I've proven that I can't. So I'm all praying, and then I'm all near to God, you know, and then get home, and, you know, wife gives bad tone, you know, or something, or I give bad tone to wife, then she gives some bad. I invite that back in, expose that to the light instead. Be like, oh man, God, I'm frustrated. I'm going to expose that right away. I'm not even going to fight over it. And God changes that so it becomes goodness and righteousness and truth instead of the darkness that I was going to navigate in. Now, Paul doesn't say not only were we just in darkness. If you look at this passage, he says that you actually were darkness. Like you were darkness itself. You weren't just like, it wasn't something done to you. Like, oh man, I have all this darkness on me. No, I ate it. I owned it. I was darkness. And I've said this a lot in my life. I know I was. I'm clear-eyed person about myself. I absolutely hated people. I hated life. I hated everything before I came to Jesus. And so I was darkness inside of me. But Paul's careful to say that you should avoid the fruitless deeds of darkness, not to avoid darkness people. And we'll see that next week, where our light has to not only be received by us, then it's going to be reflected within our own lives, but then it's going to be reflected outside of us. We're going to see that next week as our final message, that we're to share the light within us with people that are around us. But this is only possible now that we're in the light. We're light also, like our Father. This is a really cool phrase. You were once darkness. That was your identity. That's who you were. It's not just what was done to you. But now what? Now you are light. Not you navigate in light. Not you can have light. Not light is put upon you. But rather you're light now. That's God's truth to you. This is your new identity when you come to Christ. He says you are light. If anytime you find yourself in darkness, that's not who you are. You are no longer that person. You are light. What a cool phrase. How about let's live like it then? If this is a truth reality for us that we are light, let's live like it. Amen? You are light of the world, Lord. I'm going to invite the praise band up, but I want you guys to take a moment right now to allow the truth to inform you. Like we've seen several passages this morning from God's Bible. It's not relevant what I say, but do focus on the words those are from the Bible, not me. You've heard several things that God has been saying to you, and I want you to take a moment or two to just pray about them, to allow space to be realigned with God. Maybe you've got closed doors of darkness that you need to open. Maybe you've opened that back door for darkness to sneak back in, and you need to close that door, and you need to expose it, and you need to ask for forgiveness for that. Maybe that's your moment right now. Maybe this is your Paul moment where he's knocking you off of your donkey. Maybe this is that moment. And everything's going to change from now on. Where you're going to invite Jesus into you. Take some time to realign with God. To grasp onto the truth that you are in the light, but you are also a child of light. In Jesus, because of Jesus, you are the light of the Lord. Take a moment to pray that.